Issues Etc. regular guests Pastor Matt Harrison, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be speaking at the premier worship conference of 2011. Sing His Praise, His Love Declare. It's July 27th through the 29th on the campus of Concordia University, Nebraska. For more information on the worship conference, Sing His Praise, His Love Declare, visit Seward2011.org or call 402-643-2983.
In 2006, two unlikely friends became the heroes of Radiator Springs. But on their next big road trip, they're not only racing across the world.
Wish me luck.
You go get him, buddy.
Welcome to the inaugural running of the World Grand Prix.
They're racing to save the world.
No one can stop us.
I'm on approach.
Roger that.
There he is.
He's getting away.
Hang on.
Whoa. I knew I should have done carry on.
Cars 2.
Ka-chow!
Well, that's in theaters. It's the number one movie. There's a reason for it. I talked to someone just last night who saw Cars 2 with their kids. They said it was an action movie. It's also apparently a great buddy movie, just like the first version of that Pixar film. It's animated, it's action, it's funny. It's, well, I mean, in the old days, we would have called it a cartoon. But does it have moral and spiritual themes as well? Do all good stories, whether they're told on the big screen, whether they're animated or live action, are all good stories filled with moral and spiritual themes? Joining us to talk about the moral and spiritual themes of the movie Cars 2, Robert Velarde. He's a writer and editor for Sunlight Curriculum based in Littleton, Colorado, and author of the book The Wisdom of Pixar. Robert, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Always great to be on.
This is a buddy movie, and the first one was incredibly successful. Does it surprise you at all that this one is already out of the box, being greatly beloved by all these longtime fans? Most of them, well, not all of them, but so many of them, little kids.
Well, not at all, Todd. You know, Pixar has had such an incredible amount of success since their first film, Toy Story, came out in 1995. And then, of course, Cars came out in 2006. Not one of Pixar's most well-received movies, but certainly has turned into this incredible franchise, really, with so many Cars toys and things selling all over the world. That I think it made sense for Pixar to go ahead and do a sequel. Now, the sequel hasn't been all that well received by critics, but if you look at the children that go to see this movie, I took my kids to see it on Friday night, and they just had a great time. You know, it's a fun action, sort of a spy movie, very different from the first one in that sense, but it was a lot of fun, and I think the expectations are so high with Pixar movies that sometimes we as adults or as critics think that we might expect more from them. But if you look at it as it stands on its own, I think Cars 2 is a really fun movie.
So what were the moral and spiritual themes established in the first movie that perhaps carry over now into its sequel?
Well, certainly there's an ongoing theme of friendship in the Cars movies. You know, you have Lightning McQueen, of course, is the race car, and his very simple-minded small-town friend Mater, the tow truck. So you certainly have that going on as well in the sequel. Mater takes a lot more of the spotlight, I think, in Cars 2. And at least my children love that. My kids that I took with me were ages 4, 9, and 12, and they had a great time. They all thought it was better than the first one, enjoyed having more of Mater in there. But you do have the friendship element. You have the simple theme of bad guys needing to be stopped. There's a certain elements of forgiveness in there. Different things like that, I think, are helpful that come across in both Cars and Cars 2.
Talk about the way that Pixar tells a story that draws upon these themes that seem to be elemental to all good stories, moral framework, things like that.
Well, Pixar spends a lot of time developing their movies. If you look at some other animation studios, they might put out two or three movies a year. If you look at, say, a place like DreamWorks, but Pixar generally spends maybe 4 years or so from developing the story to actually getting the movie completed. So they're on a very lengthy cycle getting these movies out. And from the beginning, from Toy Story, they've put a lot of effort into storytelling and putting virtues in there into the characters that make them appealing. Now, in the one sense, you know, certainly there's an element that these are universal human virtues. On the other hand, we look at it from the perspective of Christian theism, and we have to ask, well, you know, if you don't hold the Christian theism, then what is your foundation or basis for these virtues? And really, there's not a good foundation for moral virtue without Christian theism supporting that. And I think whether they're purposefully included in Pixar movies or not is debatable, but you certainly have these classic Christian virtues coming across in a number of their movies, and I think that's what makes their storytelling more appealing. It certainly made the storytelling of Christ more appealing when he told parables.
You said that the virtue to learn from the original Cars film is life is a journey. What did you mean by that? Give us some examples from both of the films.
Sure. Well, in the original Cars, the idea really came to Pixar's creative chief creative officer, John Lasseter. He had been spending so much time at the studio working on movies, working long hours, that he really decided he needed to get away with his family. So he ended up taking an RV trip across the United States with his family and really came to learn to appreciate the time he spent not only with his family, but just slowing down a bit and enjoying the journey. And certainly I think there's a virtue in that. We so much, I think, nowadays try to plan things and structure things, and we are very much accountable to the clock and to these time limits and structures. And, you know, as Christians, we certainly learn in the Bible that there are these unplanned adventures that God's people have. If you look, for example, in the book of Acts, Paul is in Athens, if you look at Acts 17, and it was unplanned. He wasn't planning on being there. And from his unplanned adventure, he's there. We have this wonderful discussion he has at the Areopagus talking about Christianity and competing beliefs. And it was something he didn't plan. He just sort of ended up there. So I think that's one element where we need to keep in mind that God may have adventures in mind for us that we tend to sometimes look at as inconveniences.
I mentioned before that that both of these films are buddy movies, even though the buddies are cars. And yet, in that first film, it was such a contrast between this kind of life, and I don't mean this as a pun, but kind of a life in the fast lane, a Lightning McQueen, and literally the slow lane that is occupied by his tow truck friend. Talk about that, if you would.
Sure. Well, we do have quite the contrast of that going on in the first movie. You know, Lightning McQueen finds himself unexpectedly in this very small, sleepy Route 66 town, Radiator Springs, and he sort of has to cope with, you know, meeting different kinds of people and actually forming meaningful friendships, something that he wasn't able to do when he was involved in this fast-paced, winning lifestyle. And I think in Cars 2, you don't have that as much, but you certainly have Mater in the movie sort of contrasted with the spies. There's a couple of spy cars, one of them voiced wonderfully by Michael Caine. And you certainly have that element as well, where Mater is still this very simple car, and he's sort of thrust into this world that is very different to him. And learning to cope with that, I think, is what helps him shape his character and how he can learn to deal with different things that are going on.
Does he have that? Is he still that character that is, I don't want to call him kind of the Forrest Gump, but he is the person who is virtuous and kind of the childlike innocence?
Yeah, he certainly is. You know, that's just the way Mater's character is crafted. He's very honest, very sincere, says what's on his mind, doesn't necessarily at times have a lot of tact, but I think there's a certain childlike innocence there to him, where he is what he is, and you don't get anything that's fake from him. And a lot of times in life, you know, we go through sort of putting on these different masks or airs or things, and we don't always let people know who we really are. So there's certainly something virtuous about being like Mater and just letting people see who you really are, as opposed to trying to be something different.
I don't remember there being villains per se in the first Cars movie. It was more of a character's struggle, personal struggle, to overcome his own character flaws. Who are the villains in the second one?
Well, the second one, really, without trying to give away any of the plot structure here, just hinting at it a little bit, there's really sort of a bunch of lemons, you know, these cars that have just failed, gremlins and pacers and all these different actual real-life cars that are modeled into these characters that have eyes and can talk and everything. And they're sort of involved in this global plot against, I guess you could say some of the race cars involved in the second movie. So you certainly have those villains involved. And I think in some sense you still have the personal struggle going on, at least Mater sort of going through some changes. I don't think it's as strong on the personal level as the first one, but I think it's still a good, fun story.
We're talking with Robert Velarde on this Monday afternoon, the 27th of June, about the moral and spiritual themes of the movie Cars 2. He's a writer and editor for Sunlight Curriculum based in Littleton, Colorado, and author of the book The Wisdom of Pixar, An Animated Look at Virtue. You can join us with questions or comments. We are coming to you live, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio. We get them in real time. talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. I want to hear from you. Did you see Cars 2 over the weekend? And if so, what did you think? What are your questions or comments for Robert Velarde? 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. By the way, you can purchase Robert Velarde's book, The Wisdom of Pixar, An Animated Look at Virtue, under the Listen on Demand page at our website, issuesetc.org. When we come back, why is it that animation seems to have an ability to communicate these virtues, these spiritual themes, in some way better than really well-trained live actors who've spent their entire life trying to communicate those very things on the big screen? Why do these characters seem to do a little better job? We'll be right back.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
Whether you are just starting or have played your entire life, Oak Brook Golf Club in Edwardsville is your home for golf. Our 27-hole layout, fair prices, and award-winning staff, and ever-improving course conditions make your decision easy. We have always been family-owned at Oak Brook, and golf is our business. Our PGA staff offers leagues, instruction, camps, a senior scramble, and our family special where kids play free. Oak Brook Golf Club, 618-656-5600 or oakbrookgc.com.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes with Robert Velarde, author of the book The Wisdom of Pixar, An Animated Look at Virtue. If you saw Cars 2 over the weekend, just opened, and is, well, it's a box office hit already, as many of Pixar's films are. You know, there's a reason for that. I don't exactly know what it is, why these films strike such a chord with us beyond just being good entertainment. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc. Robert, why do you think it is that these films in their animated form seem to, I don't know what it is. I mean, they get me. My favorite one by far of the animated films, I believe, is also Pixar. I might be wrong, is the film Up. And for some reason, the characters, simple as they are, in these films can communicate things that I think actors spend their lifetime training to do, but they do it better.
Well, Up is certainly a Pixar film and one of their classics that won Best Picture after it came out, and has a wonderful montage near the beginning called Married Life that really encapsulates emotionally powerful depiction, really, of love between husband and wife. So I think even though it's animation, it certainly there's a power to it that can be communicated. I think there's probably three reasons for that. You know, we might call it the Aesop's Fables theory. Aesop was able to tell these little parables sort of with talking animals and things. But I think one of the reasons is we can separate ourselves from the animation while still relating to the characters and their circumstances. I think another reason is they're non-threatening because they're not real-life people. You know, we're looking at things that are cars or bugs or monsters or toys, so we don't feel as threatened. We sort of distance ourselves somewhat from what they are, but they can still be in circumstances that we can relate to as people. Third, I think it's just an engaging technique. You know, animation has come so far. It looks wonderful. Cars 2 is probably Pixar's best-looking technical movie to date as far as the details and things. And I think just storytelling, tapping into those three reasons, really helps us to relate to what's going on in an animated film. Now, this goes back to storytelling, but if you look at something like C.S. Lewis and the Chronicles of Narnia, you certainly have those elements of engaging characters, talking animals, set in sort of a different world sort of setting, but the sort of things they encounter and go through are very much what we can relate to as human beings. So certainly I think there's those elements that draw us into really good animation.
Steve is listening in St. Louis. Steve, thanks for waiting on the line. Welcome.
No problem. The thing I find really great about Pixar movies is the animation is good, but it's really their ability to tell a story. And I think what they're really good at is tapping those things that we long for, but it's hard to find. Friendship, loyalty, a sense of community. Those things that we don't see today because it's about the individual. It's about, you know, kind of a dog-eat-dog world. But Pixar never has that. They always have the sense of we're in it together.
Steve, thank you very much. What are your thoughts, Robert?
Well, that's a great insight, Steve, and I certainly agree with that. I think one of the recurring themes you get in Pixar movies, and certainly there's almost a countercultural hope and positive attitude that you have in these films, but you have this emphasis on the value of relationships over things and objects. You certainly have that in the first Cars, where Lightning McQueen decides that it's more important to do the right thing than to win a race. After all, you know, as the character said in the first movie, you know, it's just an empty cup when you win a trophy, but people are far more meaningful. Relationships are far more meaningful. You certainly have that theme in Up, where the old gentleman, Carl, values this house as being sort of representative of his wife, and then at the end sort of realizes, well, it's just a house. In other words, what really mattered there was his real-life relationship with his wife. So I think that emphasis on relationships, the different virtues that Steve mentioned certainly resonate with people, and it's something that Pixar tries to include in all of their movies to some degree of success or another.
How do you think they've done in their attempts to, what shall we say, take multiple bites from the apple? This is only Cars 2, but Toy Story went into its third incarnation and was obviously successful as well. How do you think they did there?
Well, Toy Story is a fantastic franchise, you know, a series of movies. Toy Story 3, I think, is a very rare second sequel, that actually succeeded. You know, it has a 99% positive approval rating from critics. Certainly that's almost unprecedented among critics. So I think that was a wonderfully done sequel. In one sense, it's sort of like, well, are they going to keep doing sequels or not? You know, we have a sequel to Monsters, Inc. that is scheduled that Pixar is going to be doing. I certainly would prefer that they would start delving more into the original stories, because I think that's where we have some of the deeper ideas coming through. Of course, with Toy Story 2 and Toy Story 3 being some exceptions there. Next year they have a film out in the summer called Brave that looks to be a wonderful exploration of Scottish fairy tale in the Highlands. So I think they certainly still have their creative minds going there and coming up with all kinds of great stuff for us in the future.
Do they have a weak spot in their catalog of feature animated films? Is there a weak spot for Pixar, in your opinion?
Oh, that's a tough question. As someone who's been a fan of Pixar myself since 1995, it's difficult to say. I've been to Pixar. I've gotten to visit and meet some of the folks there and see their process. I think if there is a weak spot at Pixar, it may be that the process that they have set up now. It's almost, I wouldn't call it an assembly line, but it's almost creativity by an assembly line, where they have this process mapped out. And I think in some sense, if the director is not strong enough that's working on a film, there is the danger, I think, of just, let's put all these pieces in the right place and make our movie and hope that it works out, as opposed to letting some more creative ideas come through. But certainly, their track record to date doesn't show that as a weakness. They've succeeded incredibly.
One of the ones that was kind of panned by the critics was WALL-E. And even though it was visually stunning, I know that at the time that it came out on DVD, my son watched it over and over and over again, even though it was very short on dialogue for the first half of the movie. What did you think of that one?
Well, WALL-E, I think, got panned in some ways because people thought the message there was a bit too heavy-handed. People came across it with thinking that it was this green movie, preaching about taking care of the earth and that kind of thing. But really, if you look at it deeper, it's very much this love story between this quirky little robot WALL-E and this other robot Eve that looks like she was designed by Apple Computer or something. And that's really the heart of the story, these two characters, WALL-E and Eve, and their relationship and interplay. And recently, I think just within the last week, Time magazine listed WALL-E as the number two top animated film of all time. The number one, I think, was Pinocchio. So there's certainly some interest there in what WALL-E's doing. And in the wisdom of Pixar, I really look at it more from the angle of technology. And do some of these predictions that are in WALL-E, do they, in some sort of comedic sense, foreshadow what might happen to us with these overweight human beings lounging around in these automated chairs, and all they do is look at a screen. They don't interact with each other. With things like Facebook and Twitter and the rise of the Internet and all that, are we losing touch with the relational aspects of our humanity? So I think one of the rich things about Pixar movies is that we can look at them and find all these different levels, whether somebody, appreciates the love relationship between WALL-E and this other robot, or looks deeper into some of their commentary on technology. I think there's something for everyone in these movies.
Finally, then, with only a minute, Robert, when people go to see Cars 2, what should they look for as far as moral and spiritual themes? 1 minute.
I think you need to look for the friendship theme ongoing with Mater and some of the other characters. Look for a wonderful analogy that is given in the movie about a dent that Mater has gotten in his life, physical dents in his body, that really he ends up becoming a parable of, the dents and things that harm us in our life or the difficulties we face aren't really negative, but they're elements of our power, of our character that can really strengthen us, not so much look at them as defects.
Robert Velarde is a writer and editor for Sunlight Curriculum based in Littleton, Colorado. Author of the book, The Wisdom of Pixar, An Animated Look at Virtue. You can find a link to The Wisdom of Pixar at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Robert, thank you very much.
Thanks, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk to Dr. Bill Weinrich of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, about the 2nd century Bishop of Lyon, Irenaeus, another big name remembered in church history. Tomorrow here on Issues Etc., we'll also discuss the ordination of women to the pastoral office with Pastor Bob Scheibele. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. Well, we're longing for something, aren't we? It's not just virtue. It's not just a simpler world where friendship and all those things win the day, where evil loses and good wins. We're longing for all of those things. In a very human sense, it's built into us to long for this because we lost it. And we lost it all. We lost what we know we don't have. It's built into us to know that we are a people who have forfeited something that we once possessed. And even in the blindness of our sin, we long for it to be restored. Well, we can't restore it, that's for sure. We've tried and we've tried. We can tell ourselves stories about its restoration to, while away the hours of a weekend. But the real story of the restoration comes in our Creator who sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who through His life of perfect obedience and His sacrifice at the cross actually has given us back that which we long for, a right relationship with our Creator. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.